Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Live. Worldwide. Deliverance. With your host, Jay Bartlett. For the next few minutes, Jay will be exploring the unknown, the strange, and the supernatural. Ready or not, you are about to experience deliverance.
To this day, I vividly remember the day when I met James in front of a department store. I approached James as he listened to some death metal music while waiting in his car. You must understand, I was provoked by the Holy Spirit to approach James. We began to discuss the various death metal bands and the music in general. Now, death metal music is a genre of metal music that deals with doom and destruction. But knowing God was more concerned about me extending the love of Jesus Christ, I turned the conversation to spiritual issues and the subject of demons. When I did this, it opened a floodgate as he began to open up and shared with me his involvement in Satanism, along with his fascination with demons, from demonic invocations to haunting stories of satanic sacrifice. There was no doubt that sinister forces bound this young teenager. He gave me his phone number along with his address, and we arranged for a time to meet just a few days before Halloween. I met James at his home. His room was dark. Posted on the walls were posters representing hatred, death, and gore. The room was filled with the hellish sound of death metal music. The conversation with James that Saturday afternoon was rather revealing and troubling. James admitted to his involvement in a local satanic cult. He explained to a friend of mine and myself his role as an assistant to the high priest of the cult. As an assistant, he was the one responsible for the preparation of the blood sacrifices and rituals. I was stunned momentarily, however, when in the middle of a conversation, he stood to his feet and walked to the door. Now, just before leaving, he asked if we would be interested in seeing an actual ritualistic site where his cult prepared blood sacrifices in the name of Satan. Obviously, I declined, and James sat back down, and the conversation turned once again back to the subject of demons. This time, however, I noticed that James was feeling a little uneasy about my probing questions. I just finally came out and asked him if he thought he was controlled by any demons. Yes, he replied. I asked, how many demons do you think inhabit your body? Many, was his reply. The environment changed. It became very intense. We were talking about an intense issue. It started to feel like someone had opened James's door, his bedroom door, and entered the room. It felt like there was another person in the room. This person, however, brought an evil presence that my friend and I felt. This person was a demon. I was on the brink of facing a vicious battle with the demonic, with demonic forces that controlled this teenager. Now, by this time, the suffocating evil presence became even more oppressive. Even the temperature in the room changed. It became much cooler. Weeks of prayer and fasting on the behalf of James had now reached a climax. The battle began when James informed me that he was going to bring up a demon that inhabited his body. Then James told me to shh and to remain silent. The next thing I knew, he was bowing his head, and James began to quote some unusual ritualistic language that apparently he learned in his studies of Satanism. James was attempting to conjure a demon. Within seconds of invoking this particular spirit, James brought up his head and looked at me. The only problem was that James was no longer present. I was now directly confronting a very real, violent, blasphemous spirit that controlled him. The demon stared at me with incredible hatred. It was as though I could actually see the demon. James's eyes had changed. The demon that controlled him brought forth an intense, glossy gaze. "You are subject to the blood of Jesus Christ," I instructed. "You're good," the spirit answered. "No, I'm not, but God is," I responded. The demon was now manifesting itself through the eyes and through the voice. "James belongs to us, and we will win," the voice answered back defiantly. The demon roared like a wild animal and in a unhuman-like voice shouted blasphemy. So completely did the demon take control of James's body that he spoke in its own unique voice and on a number of occasions spoke in a very strange language. "What is your name?" I asked. "Abaddon," the answer came back forcefully and clear through James's lips. The demon was speaking through James with an obviously different personality and attitude. I continued to battle this wicked, wicked evil spirit. "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to... I want to know how you gained right to James's body," I demanded to know. "I wanted to know how Abaddon gained access." Silence. Again, I commanded the demons to tell me how he gained access. Abaddon responded by stating it was through an animal sacrifice that he entered James. This young teenager was duped by a demon to sacrifice a German shepherd to Satan. I reminded Abaddon of his defeat. I mentioned specifically the blood and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The mere mention of this just caused, these spiritual truths caused the demon to go crazy. For this demon hated to hear about the work and the person of Jesus Christ. This weakened his powers. I then turned my focus on how long Abaddon had been in James's life, to find the degree of the spirit's control over his life. I commanded the demon in Christ's name to tell me how long he had been inside of James. Abaddon reluctantly said 4 years. I then wanted to know how many other demons were present, which would give me an idea of how long of an ordeal to anticipate. Abaddon replied by telling me there were 4 others. After a few moments of silence, another spirit came to attention. I was now face to face with a more powerful, violent demon. In fact, as the exorcism went along, each demon I faced grew stronger and stronger and stronger. It also became very difficult to get to the necessary information from these evil spirits. The next spirit was a more powerful demon. And I began to notice facial and body contortions. I want to continue on sharing what took place during this unusual, powerful exorcism. Stay tuned. I'll be right back after this brief intermission as I continue this revealing of this unusual exorcism that I was involved in and subsequent attacks upon my life. And now nearly 35 years of performing exorcisms around the world has gained the attention of the demonic. I may not be well known in the visible world, but I am very well known in the invisible world. Satan has sought to kill me. Satan has sought to destroy me. By God's grace and by God's grace alone, I am saved from my enemies. So tonight, on this podcast, I'd like to discuss Satan's attempts on my life on today's edition of Deliverance. I'm Jay Bartlett, and I'll be here for the next few minutes exploring the unknown, the strange, and the supernatural. Ready or not, you're about to experience deliverance, my friend.
You are listening to another thrilling edition of Deliverance with Jay Bartlett. These compelling podcasts are transformative, astounding, and inspiring. Lives are being encouraged, empowered, healed, restored, and liberated. Take a moment and support this global mission with a donation at jbartlettmissions.com. Visit the donate page and consider giving a recurring monthly donation. That's jbartlettmissions.com or call us at 877-483-5519. Thank you for your support to keep this worldwide mission alive. God has bestowed upon this global mission an extraordinary ability to gently guide individuals into the heavenly realms where thousands are encountering the risen Jesus and experiencing numerous heavenly wonders. We have, perhaps, created the world's largest video collection of testimonies of those being caught up into the third heaven and experiencing the joys, the wonders, and the glories of God's heavens. These thrilling videos from around the world demonstrate that God loves and cares for us. Taste of His powers at jbartlettmissions.com. Heavenly experiences are for real. Watch and see at jbartlettmissions.com.
I began to notice facial and body contortions within James. This physical symptom is seen in severe cases of demonization. These powerful demons even attempted to stall the exorcism by communicating to what may have been other spirits in the room. While James was in an unconscious, demonized-like state, I observed the demons use James's hands to communicate via sign language to what may have been other evil spirits in the room. "What is your name?" I asked. "Vladimir," came the reply. Again, strange and bizarre noises came forth. The moans, the growls were now becoming louder and louder. Blasphemy continued to come forth. Threats to kill James and myself were now voiced by the spirits. They wanted to kill me. They wanted to kill me. And they tried. James belongs to us, and we are taking his soul to hell. Vladimir informed me. Vladimir finally could see that after much struggle that he too entered James's body through the same animal sacrifice, the killing of the German shepherd. The same animal sacrifice that James participated in 4 years earlier that allowed Abaddon, the demon named Abaddon, access. I continue with the scripture reading, claiming the promises of God. Despite the enemy's presence, I was confident that God would prevail, and he did. A few minutes passed when suddenly another spirit came to attention. This spirit, however, was a little bit stronger than the first two. I pursued for 10 minutes to attain and to obtain the spirit's name to no avail. Finally, after much prayer, the spirit reluctantly said, Ashtaroth. Now, Ashtaroth was a Canaanite goddess who was associated with child, satanic child sacrifice, and was worshipped years, many, many centuries ago. Historical records bear out the fact that deviant sexual practices were connected with the occult, which resulted in many being enslaved to demon powers. Now, after obtaining the spirit's name, I further inquired how the spirit gained access to James's life. Like the previous two demons, Ashtaroth gained access through the shedding of innocent blood. Again, the butchering of the German shepherd had allowed him access into the body of James to inhabit James's body for 4 years as well. Now, Ashtaroth possessed a violent personality and questioned my authority in Jesus Christ. Also emerging was a growing intense hostility. I mean, we're talking about extreme hostility towards spiritual things, especially to the name of Jesus Christ. This particular spirit asked me on a couple occasions if he could ask me a question. I told the demon not to speak, unless I needed necessary information from him. The demon not only obeyed to the authority of Jesus Christ, but also became increasingly frustrated with the fact that he had to obey. Now, James's body began to tense up as the spirit looked like he was about to leap from the chair that he was sitting on and engage in physical contact with me. That demon would have violently injured me if I had not used my authority in Christ. I restrained the demon, and the demon submitted to the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, more than an hour had already passed by, and James continued in his coma-like state of unconsciousness. I had already dealt with Abaddon, Vladimir, Ashtaroth. The next stop was finding out who else was inside of James. I required the next evil spirit to manifest after a couple of moments of some eerie silence. Another spirit came forth. A more powerful evil spirit was present. It started to feel like I was entering hell itself, in the sense a profane, diabolical, ghastly look came across as James' face as the next demon sat its eyes upon mine. The demon went crazy as he growled. The demon was extremely upset that he was exposed. He jeered, he mocked, he ridiculed God. I continued to command the spirit to submit to the authority of Jesus Christ, and it did. The demon called itself Damien and took upon an even stronger personality. He had been inside James for over 2 years. Unlike the others who had been there for 4 years, Damien had been there for 2 years. I inquired on how Damien entered. The demon told me it was through a sacrifice. I paused. What kind of sacrifice? James killed a soldier. That's what the demon reported. James killed a Christian soldier, a soldier just like yourself, the voice replied. The response of the demon startled me. That answer would forever be engraved in my mind. Damien continued to stare at me. The demon expressed such hatred towards me that I could actually feel its murderous intentions. I stood in utter horror as I thought about what this demon did by supernaturally killing. I'll never forget feeling the burden that I had for James, knowing that he was in such mental, spiritual, and physical torment. I knew he must have been screaming inside for help and for freedom as he felt those satanic spirits inside of him. And I began to pray against these murderous spirits. I prayed for protection, praying that the blood of Jesus Christ would provide me a spiritual wall, a barrier between myself, my friend, and the demon in me. That prayer had a noticeable effect on the evil spirit, as he looked like he had weakened a little. As I commanded the last evil spirit that was submerged to come forth, James's head churned, and the spirit intently set its eyes upon me. "You are subject to the blood of Jesus Christ," I instructed. Silence. The demon stared at me. "What is your name?" I asked. "It begins with an S," the spirit responded with a bit of arrogance. "Is your name Satan?" I inquired. The demon smiled, knowing full well that the spirit wasn't Satan himself. I asked him again. "He said Beelzebub," he confessed. When Beelzebub confessed his name to me, something remarkable happened that I have rarely seen in nearly 35 years of global ministry. James's face slowly changed form. And I want to share with you what transpired. As his face began to be transfigured into another form. I'll be right back after this brief intermission.
God has bestowed upon this global mission an extraordinary ability to gently guide individuals into the heavenly realms, where thousands are encountering the risen Jesus and experiencing numerous heavenly wonders. We have, perhaps, created the world's largest video collection of testimonies of those being caught up into the third heaven and experiencing the joys, the wonders, and the glories of God's heavens. These thrilling videos from around the world demonstrate that God loves and cares for us. Taste of His powers at jbartlettmissions.com. Heavenly experiences are for real. Watch and see at jbartlettmissions.com. You are listening to another thrilling edition of Deliverance with Jay Bartlett. These compelling podcasts are transformative, astounding, and inspiring. Lives are being encouraged, empowered, healed, restored, and liberated. Take a moment and support this global mission with a donation at jbartlettmissions.com. Visit the donate page and consider giving a recurring monthly donation. That's jbartlettmissions.com. Or call us at 877-483-5519. Thank you for your support to keep this worldwide mission alive.
So I was no longer looking at James, but rather a face of a demon. The demon so supernaturally disfigured his face, I did not recognize James. Strange noises were now being heard, noises that one would hear wild animals make came from his lips. Again, the demons attempted to hinder the exorcism through these supernatural acts. Their attempt failed as I continued on. I demand to know how Beelzebub entered James' silence. Again, the demons attempted a supernatural act, hoping it would hinder my resolve. This time it occurred outside of James' bedroom window. As I peered out of his window, I noticed a number of shadowy figures swiftly moving outside. It was as if the demons were materializing. They were materializing into these shadowy forms to hinder my attempts to deliver James. They failed once again. I paused and prayed, and Beelzebub smirked as if he knew what was happening. Who knows? He may have been the cause of it. Demons will tempt anything within their power to hinder God's work. As it became increasingly difficult to obtain information from Beelzebub, I petitioned the Lord and asked God to, if it was his will, to send one of his angels to confront this spirit and to weaken its power over James. Several minutes later, Beelzebub began to look up to the ceiling as if to see a holy angel come forth. Beelzebub became nervous, and a weakened look came upon his face as God's angel began to weaken the spirit's power. "What did James do to allow you access?" I asked. The spirit replied, but said a word I could not understand. So I asked him again. The spirit replied, but again, I was having a difficulty understanding the demon. It was as if the demon had trouble pronouncing the word. After some struggle, I finally comprehended what the demon was attempting to say. Beelzebub informed me that he entered through domination, which I took to mean that he gained access because the other demons were already present in his body. Knowing at this point I had dealt with the five demons, I wanted to be sure there was no more demons left. So I commanded any demons that were inside of him to come to attention. No demons had manifested. I then proceeded to call each demon by name and cast each one out by the authority of Jesus Christ. After casting the five demons out, James's body slumped. The demonic had left. The demon's exit was rather quiet, at least from what I observed from the outside. I summoned James from his unconscious state, and I informed him that he had been controlled by numerous demons and assured him complete deliverance was at hand. I explained to James that despite what had happened in the past with his involvement in Satanism, God loved him and wanted to set him free. James listened. I asked James if he wanted to confess the sins that led to demonic control. He said he would. I then led James in a lengthy prayer of confession of sin. Then I asked James to assert his will against the demon and renounce his allegiance to Satan and his demons. And he did. I then spent a few moments explaining the gospel and the need for him to turn to Christ as Savior and Lord. James was now delivered from the five demons. Knowing full well that the demonization had caused mental and emotional damage, I prayed. I prayed for God's healing. The Lord Jesus supernaturally healed this young man of numerous emotional ills. After being involved in a three-hour exorcism and knowing that James was fatigued, I left him with some follow-up materials or information, resources, so he could continue his walk with Jesus Christ. And the following morning, James called and was rejoicing in what Christ had done in his life. Our relationship had begun with a new brother in Christ, and an intensive ministry in his hometown was started, which resulted in many more young people coming and being delivered by the power of Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus, in speaking of Satan, says he has come to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what John 10:10 tells us. As a result of ministering to those enslaved by the powers of darkness, I've come across numerous satanic attacks, violent attempts on my life. You can read about it in my bio section at jbartlandmissions.com. That's jbartlandmissions.com. I lengthily chronicle, because I'm chronicling God's grace, his mercy in my life. And throughout the world, on every single continent, I've endured strange afflictions and attacks. I've come across numerous satanic attacks, even violent attempts on my life. For example, dozens and dozens of brutal strikes to the head, even with very hard objects. Over the years, I've endured some very trying times. Armed soldiers in Western Africa have detained me. I've been physically attacked in front of the Notre Dame in Paris, France. Satanists in America have stalked me. I have been imprisoned. I have shed my blood for Jesus Christ. I've been threatened by demons and even assaulted by these evil spirits in Asia. But one of the most horrifying experiences occurred when Satan attempted to kill me. I still remember the night well. James had been set free. Some time had gone by, and just a few days before Halloween, it was a cool October night. And I remember I had been feeling a burden to visit James, somebody that I had led to Christ, who had been involved in Satanism, who had been powerfully delivered. I wanted to check in with him. So a friend of mine and I went along with a friend of mine went along with me to visit this ex-Satanist. It turned out to be a terrifying experience. As soon as we arrived to his home, we noticed how strange James was acting. He seemed very distant and uninterested. Within minutes of our arrival, a car came racing up his driveway. Without allowing the car to come to a full stop, a young man jumped out of the car and raced towards me. "I'm going to kill you tonight, Christian," he taunted with incredible demonic hatred. I stood there in silence, praying for this young man as blasphemy poured out from within him. "I'm going to kill you and your God, Jehovah," he said. About this time, I noticed I was surrounded by half a dozen or so Satanists whom I recognized ministering in this, from the time I was ministering in this small community. Then I realized I'd been set up. This incident was planned. They had gotten to James. They persuaded him back into the cult. As I stood there in front of this young Satanist, as he grinded his teeth and spat in my face, I prayed, asking for the Lord's protection. The man continued to threaten to kill me. "I'm sick and tired of you helping James." As soon as he stated that, he stepped back a few feet, reached out toward his back. Now, I thought at first he was going to pull out a gun. It turned out to be a butcher knife. I couldn't believe my eyes. I continued to stand firm, trusting in God. Seconds later, he thrusted the large knife to my throat, just inches from my flesh. Now, it seemed like an eternity having that knife to my throat. I knew the demon in him wanted to kill me just because I was a follower of Jesus Christ and seeking to serve him through the ministry of deliverance. That group of Satanists wanted to kill me that night. They failed. God prevailed. Within minutes, the Satanist that was holding the knife in my throat backed off, puzzled by my confidence. This really was the power of Jesus Christ. It's the power of Jesus Christ in me, giving me the peace, the strength to stand my ground. Knowing the opportunity to minister, my friend, was closed at that point, it turned out that my friend had gotten back involved in Satanism. Though he had spent some time back in Satanism, by God's grace, James rededicated his life to Christ a few months later after that incident. And as a result of that life-threatening incident, a couple of other Satanists came to know Jesus Christ because they were astounded by the confidence. Because they even admitted they were going to sexually torture me. They were going to sacrifice me and kill me. But they were puzzled, mystified, perplexed how I was able to stand, and it was because God is so faithful. Despite what may have happened, I cling to the promise of Romans 8:28 when Paul, the Apostle Paul, wrote, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." Never underestimate the power of Jesus Christ to sustain you, to protect you, to strengthen you, to energize you. Yes, I've had a number of attempts in my life, but I'm still standing. Nearly 35 years later, I'm still standing. And I'm standing for Jesus Christ. And perhaps you would like to know this Jesus. This is a good opportunity to give your life to Jesus Christ. Why don't you pray with me? Just say, Lord Jesus, please forgive me of all my sins. I repent. For my wickedness and my rebellion, I turn to the cross, to the Jesus who shed his blood for me, who died on the cross for me. He took the punishment so I wouldn't have to take the punishment. The one who was buried but rose again on the third day, who's coming back very soon. I confess him as my Lord and Savior. I invite him to control my life, to come in with his love, his peace, his presence, to give me everlasting life. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Now, if you prayed that simple prayer, I want you to contact me at jay@jaybartlandmissions.com. That's jay@jaybartlandmissions.com. And let me know so we can rejoice and send you a free Bible and do whatever we can to help you. I bless each and every one of you. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
This has been a production of the Good News Podcasting Network, based in sunny Southern California. Feel free to contact for more information on the Deliverance Podcast at jbartlettmissions.com or call us at 877-483-5519.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.